B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 4 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show. And the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Phil's lost 6-2. Jason Stark will join us at 4:30. We'll talk about it. They're sinking. And again, you know, we were talking about this the other day. You've got to stay in it. You can't give it up here. They're three out now. They've lost 6 of their last 11, and they could be 4 out tonight, depending on what Atlanta does with the Mets. They're not playing good baseball, and in this game today, a disastrous sixth inning. Bryce Harper got thrown out trying to go to third base on a single. Reese Hoskins then later got a single, and for some reason, and this is, see, there are things that are inexplicable to me. One is, why is Cole Irvin up here with the big club? The other thing is, why on earth would you give a green light to Sean Rodriguez at a 3-0 count in that same inning with guys on base? Come on, seriously? Come on, Gabe. All right, that's just out of line. So they're in trouble. And we talked about, wait. You get a better deal at the trade deadline. Okay, that's good. I hope you're not buried by then. Because I'm looking at these rehab starts that Keuchel and Kimbrel had a rehab yesterday. He threw 8 pitches, got 3 outs. So, okay, whatever. We're also still talking about the Eagles charging. And the question I ask people today is, what good can come from you charging for a practice? What good? Now, they got you because it's sold out, so they got the last laugh. But I asked the people that went for this, instead of saying, you know what, no. I don't need to see a practice that bad where they're going to charge me $10, even though it goes to charity. It's just not right. Doesn't look right. They're not giving back enough to me as a fan. I know they want a Super Bowl. I get it. That shouldn't grant them immunity. Apparently it has. 610-632-0975. It's General Knowledge Wednesday. You get a general knowledge question correct today, you get a pair of tickets to Fanatic Fan Fest Saturday, August 24th. All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll talk to Dave in Sellersville. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Dave?
Not much. I have a brief Eagles point and then a Sixers question going back to your cap thing you guys were doing yesterday.
Yes.
Lots of times in all areas of life, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And, how about Lurie thinks about giving back to the fan base and society that enabled him to make his fortune? Do they even give anything for free to the fans now?
Well, he used to. He used to have practices that you could watch. They took those away. And then since they moved to NovaCare, which I go, okay, fine. I get all your facilities in there. That's fine. They gave you 2 free practices. They didn't give you one, but they charge for it. So this is progress, I assume.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. And the guy who wrote the email earlier, when people think like that, they think a certain way about a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've beaten my head against the wall trying to convince people that, sympathize with the corporate overlords. I don't know why they care so much. It's weird.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm disappointed that people didn't make more of a stand. It was an unfair bargain, I thought. But the people willingly accepted it. And again, once you willingly accept stuff, I don't think that's the last thing to come down the pike, do you?
No, really.
Because they got you now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to pay $10 for one practice, they can pretty much do anything they want now.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably the case.
And that's what I was looking out for. So I just merely asked a rhetorical question. Why is it a good idea to charge people? And nobody's been able to answer it yet.
Yeah, it's not. Before I go, my Sixers thing is, I like the idea of letting Tobias walk, but I'm not sure, would we be able to do this, sign Rubio as our backup point guard in both Morris brothers and draft a 2-guard?
Why would you want to sign both Morris brothers? They play the same position.
I just like their style, and I thought...
Yeah, you don't need two of them. you just one is fine. Why would you want two?
Intimidation. Them and Jimmy, I think.
No, you can't put them on the floor at the same time.
I get it.
Yeah.
I like Rubio and...
No, yeah, you can definitely do that. One of the Mars brothers and Rubio, and you'd still have some room to sign some more players, actually.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. Yeah, a general knowledge question. We got it for you. A tourist attraction by Wikipedia description.
All right.
It's also known as the Flavian Amphitheater.
Flavian Amphitheater? The Colosseum?
That's correct!
Woohoo!
The Colosseum! The Roman Colosseum.
That's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Strong answer.
He sounded like a smart guy.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Colosseum. Very interesting.
While in Rome?
As long as you get the Coliseum, you might as well have a football team playing there. You know, it's not really equipped. It would be a cool backdrop, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
put a big scoreboard in the ancient ruins of the Coliseum.
Yeah, that would be neat.
You get one of those computer
things. Field turf.
I would just do it next to it, like they did with the Yankee Stadium, mm-hmm. right next to the Coliseum. I'm building a modern Coliseum.
Modern Coliseum.
And then it's roughly like it, but it's all up to code and everything, with all the mm-hmm. modern amenities. And then in the backdrop, you have the Coliseum. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good idea. AJ in West Philly. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. AJ.
What up, Mike?
What's going on, AJ?
You know, that's my favorite time of the year. It's the time when I take Ansys Pasnik over Kyle Kuzma. I was definitely wrong about that one.
Yeah.
But I got my five players after my extensive research.
All right, five players that you're going to draft.
Yes.
Okay. All right, give them to me.
All right, the first pick, we're going to pick Cam Johnson from North Carolina.
Is he going to be there at 24?
Look, this is my target. This because you got to have a backup plan, but you got to have an initial target. So I'm looking at him. That's my hypothetical hopeful. Then in the next pick, I'm looking at Carson Edwards. If he's there, I'm definitely
first pick in the second round.
Then the next pick, I like either Daniel Gifford or Claxton.
Uh-huh. So you want a big guy that you can you kind of like
that's
forward type. Yeah, all right.
Back in center.
Okay.
Now, the next second round pick, Eric Pascal from Villanova. And I don't know why we haven't been grabbing Villanova players in the championship teams because they all good.
Well, listen, you're taking chances with these guys being there, you know, right?
That's why you got to have initial target. I also like Lewis King. I like Jalen Horde, but they my secondary picks. This is my initial option.
All right, I think you're going to have to trade up to get Cameron Johnson. You're going to have to trade up to about 20.
Well, look, I got backup, so I can wait. I'll take Carson. They just bump everybody up.
Wait, you'll take Carson Edwards at 24?
At 24. Mm-hmm. And then I'll take Pascal and the rest of the guys I named. But my final pick, you'll love it. White boy shooter, the boy Kyle.
Kyle Guy?
Kyle Guy from Virginia. That's going to be my backup, JJ Redick, just in case you can't get him. We need a shooter.
Yeah, the problem is Kyle Guy's only 6'2".
Hey, look, he's a shooter. He could be 5'5",
9". No. You know that you give me a 6'2 shooter other than Steph Curry in this league.
Hey, look, I'm just saying. Hey, this is the bottom. What's this pick number?
Give me a 6'2 white kid shooter in this league.
And Kyle Guy can put it in the hole. I ain't believe it.
In college, you can. In college, you can. But it's Nick Stauskas, he can put it in the hole, too, in college. How'd he turn out?
Not as good as this guy.
If Stauskas was
6'5". 6'5 guys that don't win championships is not better than 2 guys.
All right. Listen, I like Kyle Guy. I like him as a college shooter. Listen, man, you want a general knowledge question?
Let's do it.
All right, here it is. Sidekicks quiz. I'm going to give you the name of somebody you give me that's who they tagged along with. All right, let's go with Chewbacca.
Oh, he rolled with Han Solo.
He did roll with Han Solo. And you're rolling the fan fest, AJ. We need Kyle Guy, since you're a Virginia hater.
No, in the second round.
You would take a shot at Kyle Guy?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah, he's a backup. He'd be a project backup point. Yeah.
6'2 shooter.
Yeah, but he's a backup point. There's a lot of backup points for 6'2".
His major asset is the way he shoots it. I can't use his major asset. How good is he?
I can run around screens and stuff. I can use him.
You will.
Yeah,
6'2". Yeah, he's 6'2" guy.
I mean, 6'2" guy. Redick's 6'3".
He's 6'4". All of 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
But there's been NBA players in the past that size who can shoot the ball, who can get it off under certain circumstances.
Who?
How big was Kerr?
Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
What, are you going to go back to the 90s?
What?
We're talking about the 2019 NBA.
I got to look around the league. But
Steve Kerr was 6'5", 6'6".
He's that tall?
Yes.
But I still think there's guys who I think you can find a
Jimmy
way
Fournette
to use
them. Was a 6'2 shooter.
Well, the problem with him is he wasn't that good a shooter. He was a fraud.
College he was.
Yeah, but in the pro, he's a fraud.
Well.
And he was also a lottery pick. This is a second-round flyer. There's a difference. I wouldn't take him in the first round.
All right.
You talking about in the 50s? Yeah, I'd take a champion.
All right. Matt in Collingswood, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, don't Mike.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, I'm going to talk about this horrible Phillies team. It's not only the pitching. It's the offense. The offense stinks now, too. Like, damn, nobody. I know Real Muto is hurt. And Harper, these brain dead moves he's making lately, like getting out of third base. Like, what's going on with this team? I don't understand.
Yeah, they're falling apart right now. We're going to get some answers from Jason Starr. Kingery had a couple more hits today. Hernandez actually had two hits. Bryce Harper was 0-for-2, had two walks. Roman Quinn got four at bats today.
Yeah, Roman Quinn.
0-for-4 for Roman today.
Yeah, he's still on base. I'm glad
he energized him.
Oh, my God. I mean, with Cole Irvin, I mean, what is Kapler doing? I mean, you're still in the game at that point. I mean, obviously, his offense stinks, but, why Cole Irvin? This guy's just grown up every time he comes in anymore.
He'll tell you that the matchups with our left-hander versus left-hander, he had Soto coming up in that inning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He throws all cupcakes up there.
Yeah, he does. He's very hittable.
What do you think about Al Horford?
I like it now. I'm starting to really get if Tobias doesn't sign, I think Horford really would help him as a starting four and a backup five. He can fill two positions that way. So yeah, I'm kind of getting intrigued by it.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, he gave JoJo and Ben fits big time when he played against him. I hope he can definitely help him for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much he's got left because he's ancient. But
I don't think he's going to get a huge contract. No,
he's going to get a huge contract. He just turned down $31
million. Yeah,
so he's getting more than $31
million. I'm thinking he knows Boston's not going to be a contender anymore.
Well, he's trying to get a multi-year deal, and that's what he's after, and he's going to get it from somebody.
Yeah, definitely. Somebody's going to give it to him, but he has to be a contender at the point, right?
Well, I would think that he could pick and choose a contender. All right, here's a general knowledge question for a pair of FanFest tickets. Geography, true or false? Turkey is part of NATO. True or false?
Turkey is part of NATO. I'm going to go with true.
That is correct. That was a total guess by you because most people would say Turkey is not a part of NATO. They're an enemy.
They may be kicked out.
They're on iffy ground.
Yeah, because of the bombing of their own people.
Yep. Dino in Camden, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dino.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Dino?
Hey, man, look, man, real to the point, man. What's going on with the Phillies, bro?
They are falling hard right now.
Are Kapler losing the team? What's going on?
I think they really. I don't know. It's not Kapler's fault. Their personnel really is lacking right now. They need to make a trade now. They need to give up some prospects for an outfielder, and they need to get pitching help.
Agreed. And to piggyback off the last caller, I agree with him too. I think Horford would be a solid backup. Or starting for the Sixers. I like that myself.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, are you ready for a general knowledge question?
Shoot.
All right. What tennis score comes before 15?
Before 15?
Before 15.
Isn't it zero?
It is not zero. It's technically zero, but it's not called zero. It's called love. It's sometimes announced to zero.
Where's the...
We believe in, we believe in love around here.
But why would they call it love?
Oh, I don't
There's
know.
There's a reason for it.
There was a reason for it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Let me see.
I mean, I'm a big tennis fan.
Is it a cryptic shot at relationships?
No.
It's not?
No, it's not a cryptic shot at relationships.
It could be, you never know.
It's not.
The beginning of the game, when both sides have no score, the game is love-love, because in tennis, love means having the score of nil. Other theorized that love arose from the French word for egg, loof, because a zero on a scoreboard resembles an egg.
Okay, I got you.
It's taking shots at love.
Too complicated. Just go zero.
No, well, once you start,
it's a difference.
No, no, no. Traditions are what they
tradition?
Are. Yeah, that's just listen.
It's stupid.
You're a baseball man.
Yeah,
there's dumb traditions in that sport
no,
too.
It's not. Not with the score.
It's other,
no,
but it is.
Score, it's zero to the score.
Why do they still walk out to change pitchers? There's no need for that.
What
that
do you
was
mean?
To change pitchers. It should be like soccer. They hold up the number of the pitcher that's out. And the number of the pitcher that's coming in, hold it up, have the guy come in, let's go.
What's the difference? You're not causing any time to...
Yes, it does. These guys take their time walking out there. These managers, they take forever. And they got to
pop
the guy
on
the
book.
No, let's go. I don't think that's a tradition that's completely antiquated that you could get rid of in a second. And it wouldn't affect the game at all.
Well, there's
other
another
than speed.
There's another theory that said it's rooted in the colloquial phrase for for love, meaning without stakes being wagered. That may make a little more sense.
It's too much thought into it when zero can suffice. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's already been just 100 years ago.
0-0.
It's too late now to change it.
Who invented tennis?
Tennis been invented.
I know, but who?
But it's, they got
Jimmy Love, I don't know. I don't know.
Jimmy Love and the Rackets.
The 15-30-45 is even weird.
It is. That part is weird.
Go
but
1-2-3-4.
Once it takes hold, it's too late.
All right.
It came about in France.
All right. It's 0-0. All right. So Irvin comes in to face Soto and Adams.
How'd that go?
He struck out Adams.
And then?
Soto singled.
And then?
Brian Dozier is the right-hander. So he should have brought in a right-hander to pitch to Dozier, but then Parr is left-hander. So he's going to tell you that they had the matchups they wanted with the lefty against three lefties.
And he went 1-2 against those.
Problem is, it's either Cole Irvin or Alvarez. So what's the point? What's the difference?
At this point, just go with the best pitcher and not worry about lefty right.
Well, who's the best pitcher? Are you going to bring in Velasquez in that spot to pitch to Soto in a 3-1 game?
I'd rather Velasquez than... I think Velasquez has a major league arm.
The mindset of putting the lefty in there is not bad. The problem is they don't have a lefty who's reliable enough, nor do they have a righty who's reliable enough. Which means they need to make a trade.
I would rather Velasquez, because at least he can throw hard.
I would not, touch Velasquez to face Juan Soto. Are you kidding me?
Look at Cole Irvin.
That's a home run waiting to happen. You have Velasquez pitch to Soto.
Well, he's terrible today.
Well, Scherzer's still starting tonight.
They're facing Scherzer tonight, coming off a loss in the afternoon Eflin gave him a decent outing today, didn't he?
Yeah, he pitched pretty well. Three runs, 6-7 innings? That's not bad.
See, this is Matt Klentak. When your only lefties are Alvarez and Cole Irvin, it's up to you now.
Yeah, you got to get somebody.
Yeah, the mindset of the manager is, I got three left-handers coming up. I'm going to throw Velasquez out there.
But his thing is, by July, we'll have a lefty back that we trust. Your favorite lefty will be back.
Okay, good. Keep waiting, and you'll be six out.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's go to Will in Burlington. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, Mike, how you going?
What's up, Will?
All right, so I think I can stomp you on why I think this is a good idea for the Eagles to charge $10.
Okay, go ahead.
It makes them accountable and it kills the Super Bowl hangover. So if you're paying them $10 and the product isn't good, people are going to be pissed and make them accountable.
Well, how are you going to tell how good they are at a meaningless preseason practice?
Damn, I thought I had you.
really? You're not going to see anything. They're not even hitting in those practices. We already know they're going to be a good team. We don't have to, we don't need a practice to figure that out. But it would be nice to reward your fan base. Come on in for free.
I agree with you, Mike. But I think if people charge you $10, if they're not happy with anything, it can make them accountable. They'll get pissed off and it'll kill that Super Bowl hangover. So now it's like we're all hungry.
Well, why can't you make the statement that they need to be accountable and not go to the practice for $10? Like, why can't you do that?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I'm just trying to stop you, man.
There's no good reason for it. It's a bad look at every angle. It's a bad look to charge your fan base $10 to get in and see a practice.
I agree.
All right. Here's your general knowledge question. It is tourist attractions by Wikipedia descriptions. All right, okay. So let's go with this one. Hiking down to the river and back up to the rim in one day is discouraged by park officials.
Oh, you got me, man.
Wikipedia description. Oh, sorry. It is the Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon is the correct answer. All right. One open line. We're talking Phillies baseball. Jason Stark after this. 610-622-0975, and we'll be on live TV coming out. Mike Missanelli Show, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is 4:30, and it's the Mike Missanelli Show on the heels of the Phillies losing the day game today against the Washington Nationals. And we are now on NBC Sports Philadelphia, so welcome to our TV audience. Let's bring in the man, because we got a lot of issues to talk about with this team right now. The Phillies, unfortunately, are facing Scherzer in the nightcap tonight, so that's not a good thing either. Jason Starr, covering Major League Baseball for many years, now at The Athletic, and a contributor to Major League Baseball Network and other great baseball ventures. Jason, they look like they are sinking like a stone here.
How big a stone?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out from you. You tell me how big of a stone they are right now sinking.
Well, I think there's a lot to be concerned about, right? It as recently as May 29th, they were still 11 games over 500. They had a 3.5-game lead. Since then, they've lost, 11 of 17. That's the second worst record in the league, Mike. They've lost 6.5 games in the standings to the Braves, but they've been outscored by the Braves by 60 runs in 3 weeks.
Yes.
This is ominous stuff.
It really is. We'll get to the pitching in a minute, but you're right. They have not hit. This was a team that was advertised. It was going to provide great offense night in and night out. They haven't done that. What's been the problem?
You know, I was up at MLB Network last Friday. Phillies Braves series was coming up. We previewed it. And we were talking before the show, and I said to the room, I said, we went into the season thinking that the Phillies might have the best lineup in the league. Is there anybody who thinks that they have a better lineup than the Braves? Went around the room. Nobody thought so. There's only one position on the field where the Phillies have a better OPS than the Braves do. That's catcher with JT Realmuto. Other than that, the Braves have outperformed them everywhere on the field. Scott Kingery leads the team in average, slugging, OPS. And that's great. But if I told you in spring training he was going to outslug Harper and Hoskins, you just said, boy, this is going to be a hell of a lineup, right?
Yeah. No, I get you. Bryce Harper is not hitting home runs, and I know they say they're not worried about Bryce Harper. He's like 68th in the league in home runs, and that wasn't supposed to happen. You know, I'm looking around the Alonzo's bashing my home runs left and right, and Bryce just can't seem to get the ball lifted out of here. What is going wrong? Are they alarmed by it?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I believe I mentioned this to you last week. If you looked at the underlying data, you'd see that Bryce's exit velocity is the hardest it's ever been. Right? Mm-hmm. He's hitting the ball harder when he hits it than he's ever hit it. But his launch angle is the lowest it's ever been, and it's just not conducive to driving the ball out of the park. I think there's some fundamental issues with his swing. We've talked about those. Mm-hmm. And I've also thought this for a while. Bryce is trying to force things to happen instead of just letting things happen. I think you see that at the plate. I think you saw it on the bases today.
Yeah, he got thrown out at third after a stumble, a foolish play to try to get to third. And in the same inning, and maybe you can explain this to me, why in the world that Sean Rodriguez would get a green light on 3-0?
Well, I just think that's been the philosophy of the team. Gabe Kapler, John Mailey, they give their hitters, their veteran hitters especially, a lot of freedom in those situations. And that's just showing that they depend on Sean Rodriguez's baseball IQ to have him do the right thing there. And I know Gabe Kapler was laudatory about that decision after the game.
Listen, this Knobsley, I'm sorry.
You need base runner.
I'm sorry. When did Sean Rodriguez turn into a league hitting star that he would get a 3-0 green light?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Forget the fact he's a veteran. He doesn't even belong in the big leagues.
I disagree with that.
He's a good, useful, intelligent
player.
Okay, good.
But he hasn't hit for several years.
Yeah.
Well, so that.
Other than that, he's a very useful player. All right. So we talked about this last week, or at least I heard you say this maybe on the morning show, about them getting better value as it comes down to the All-Star break, to the trading deadline, all this kind of stuff. They can't wait. They're going to get buried. The Mets are now coming up the rear on them. To me, they've got to act now. When you only have left-handed options of Alvarez and Cole Irvin to throw into that kind of a situation, and the best you can do is Sean Rodriguez playing left field, you need players.
Well, first off, the Mets aren't their worry. You know, the Nationals, if Scherzer has his Willis Reed moment tonight and wins that game, the Nationals will only be 4 games behind them. 20 games ago, they were 10 games behind them.
Yes.
And I'd be wary of that team for sure. Now, in terms of going out to make a deal, one aspect to remember is they are getting healthier in their pitching staff. Tommy Hunter's back any day. Adam Morgan is on a rehab option. He's back any day. David Robertson's finally throwing. I guess that's going to free them, if that's the right word, to put Vince Velasquez back in the rotation. That's probably where this is leading. But you want to do something bigger and more impactful than that. And here's what I'm hearing. Yeah, can you go out and trade for Madison Bumgarner right now?
Mm-hmm.
He's available.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the price tag right now is you've got to blow us away. It's 3 top prospects, and I just don't think they're of a mind to pay that kind of price right this minute. There are a lot of other teams that have pitchers who could be available that haven't made up their mind yet. I would say Marcus Stroman's available at a really big price. Guys like that, Matt Boyd from Detroit is available at a really big price. As you go along, it shifts from being a seller's market to a buyer's market. And it's not just them. There are a lot of teams looking that haven't been buying.
I get it. But right now they're losing their grip. And when you're losing your grip, you can't pick and choose here. You know, they put themselves in this kind of a situation. They have to get themselves out. And if they wait any longer, maybe it's too late. And their fans deserve more than that.
I think the front office understands the urgency of where they are and what's happened since some of these injuries. But it's harder to make these deals than you think. The one thing is, after tomorrow, they've got 10 games in a row against the Marlins and Mets. That buys them some time, theoretically, right? You're not going to get 2-8 against those teams, right?
I don't know. Right now, they don't have any potency. Listen, if they're putting together lineups that have Rodriguez hitting third, playing left field, and Kingery playing center field, and the third base question is they're scrambling around right now.
There's no doubt. Now, Real Muto caught today. Jay Bruce is supposed to play tonight. And you're going to put some things back in order when that happens. In fact, I noticed something today. Jay Bruce has been a Philly for 11 games. Do you know he's already passed Bryce Harper in wins above replacement?
That's hard to believe.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. all right, listen. I don't know where this is going, but can I ask you? This is a question. This is just from my own eyesight. Who makes a determination that guys like Jared Eichhoff and Cole Irvin are major league pitchers?
Well, they both earned the right to be here. I think they are both pitching their way out of here.
They've got nothing, Jason. They've got nothing.
Cole Irvin's mistakes get hit a long way. He was the International League Pitcher of the Year last year. He has had a lot of success throughout his professional career, but they swing right now like they know what's coming. I think today makes 6 homers in his last 12 innings, and Jared Eichhoff has given up, 18 homers in his last 28 innings.
Isn't there any coincidence that if you don't have any velocity, you can't pitch up here anymore? I mean, doesn't that pretty much simplify things?
True, but
it's like 85% true.
It is. There's no doubt about it. Guys whose average fastball is a 93 and up, almost none of those players get drafted or signed or promoted these days. You've got to have an incredible feel for pitching to pitch at that velocity. Both those guys got to the big leagues pitching that way. Jared Eichhoff had tremendous success once pitching that way. But
I don't
have
a tremendous success, but they always got fooled by this silly 12-6 curveball that they've lauded for 4 years now with this guy. Unless you can spot your fastball, the curveball doesn't get people out.
No doubt.
All right.
And his fastball isn't what
I'm peeved now. Now I'm peeved.
Come on, relax. All right. Game coming up in 3 hours.
Yeah, with Scherzer. All right, Jason. We'll talk to you. Thanks.
See you, Mike.
There he is, Jason Stark. All right. Oh, yeah, by the way, Jason Stark has been brought to us by a couple of people, right? I'm screwed up here because I lost all my stuff. I got more stuff here.
The big draft day thing.
First of all, he was brought to us by Xfinity, which I should have said when I introduced him.
Oh, I didn't. That's my fault.
Stay connected. No, that's my fault because I have 100 papers. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds even during peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at XfinityApp.com. And then when we say goodbye to Jason, he's brought to us by Everfresh juices and juice drinks. Why strike out with a boring soda when you get a grand slam with Everfresh juices and juice drinks? Available at your neighborhood store, Everfresh is nature's refreshment. I didn't like a bit of what he had to say today. Not one bit did I like what Jason had to say today.
It wasn't encouraging.
He's taking it a lot lighter than I am. You know? He's of the mindset that it's going to improve. I'm at the mindset now where it's zero dark 30. Okay? It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4:48. Mike Missanelli show. We're gonna get a chance to look at every play this game, but I'm looking at it now. He swung at the 3-0 pitch in the top of the ninth, right? At the top of the ninth, when he swung 3-0.
No.
It wasn't?
No, that wasn't the ninth.
All right,
I thought it was.
Well, he hit in the ninth.
Oh, it must have been the ninth.
He grounded out the third.
It must have been the ninth then. Yeah, because Hernandez came. Wait, but Hernandez.
No, he hit the second pitch. So it wasn't. It might have been the sixth inning.
It was the sixth. Top six when he did it.
Yeah, all right.
I just got confirmation.
The top of the sixth.
Yeah.
Okay, so Harper walks, and Harper got thrown at third. Hoskins singles. Realmuto grounded to a fielder's choice. So there's two on. And Rodriguez, it's a 2-1 game. And Rodriguez gets a 3-0 count, and he grounds out the third. Now, I know it's easy for me to say that he should have done it, but I would never give a 3-0 count to an inferior hitter. Never. I just never would do it. To me, getting a guy on base is more important than what this guy's going to do 3-0.
He's a career .249 hitter against lefties, too. So the notion that he's great against lefties is not true.
And that's what's something that Gabe Kapler, we're trying to get the sound, Gabe Kapler said after the game that he liked his situation there.
.249.
Against not, left-handed hitter.
It's not left-handed pitcher.
Okay. They're reeling. Curtis and Overbrook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Curtis.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Curtis?
Not much. Hey, I got a few things. Real quick, I'm going to ask you about Breaking Bad. How did you feel about that show before I get into my Phillies and Sixers point?
Meh.
Nah, you know what? I can't stand Walter White, but the sub-characters, the other characters, I thought are pretty good in this.
Network shows always inferior to me than the shows that are on premium networks.
All right. I just wanted to check.
It was okay. I mean, you know, it was intriguing.
All right.
But it kind of lost me. It's not one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like Gus. Gus reminds me of a more advanced Stringer Bell, but that's another day, another topic. First of all, I want to just tell you the Phillies are just, it's just kind of hard to watch them. And I still am just harping on why they didn't make a trade before this season started. I'm still mad that Vince Velasquez is on this team, first of all. We knew 2 years ago what Vince Velasquez was. The fact that we brought him back speaks to the fact that they're in love with players that aren't very good. And we've got to make decisions on Franco, Velasquez.
I don't think it's a bad idea to have him throw an inning in the bullpen. I think he's got enough stuff to actually help you because he can at least throw 95. I don't like guys that are 88 to 90.
Okay.
You know, I don't mind Velasquez being a bullpen piece. I think he can grow into it.
All right, let's hope for that one because that's the last place for him after that. If that doesn't work, you got to go. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of guards that I thought are interesting pieces to look at in free agency for the NBA, and that would be Alec Burke, who was rumored to be coming here in the middle of the season via trade, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. What do you think of those
guards? Yeah, we just talked about Pope as a starting option at two guard to replace JJ, and JJ coming off the bench. I'd be okay with that.
All right, cool.
Alec Burke.
As a backup, I'm not saying as a starter. I'm thinking as your backup.
He's all right. Center. I mean, you know, I can get Patrick Beverley. I can get Ricky Rubio. There'd be better options for me.
Okay. All right.
You're talking about Trey Burke?
Alec Burke.
All right, Alec Burke. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you want a general knowledge question, bro?
Certainly.
Okay. General knowledge category. Who was the more famous bandmate of Chris Kirkpatrick, Joey Fatone, Lance Bass, and J.C. Chazes?
Wow, Chris Kirkpatrick. Limp Bizkit.
What's that?
Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit?
That was Fred Durst.
Yeah.
I just question myself. He's talking about.
I was asking for the bandmate, not the name of the band. So he may have thought it was a. You know.
No.
Right, but those guys weren't even. Those guys
he's
certainly weren't in
so
Limp Bizkit.
So far from correct.
Yeah, he wasn't in the ballpark. It was Justin Timberlake, of course.
For NSYNC.
Let's go to Harrison in Delaware County. Harrison, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Harrison.
Hey, Mike. How's
it going? What's going on, Harrison?
Not much. I wanted to talk about the Eagles and the fact that I think they missed it, not just for the fans, but business-wise. I think they missed it as well. Like, if you think about it, if you kept it free, all these parents are bringing their kids to like the stadium. You're just creating the next generation of fans that's going to buy your merchandise and stuff. Like hats, and they're going to want their parents to buy them, like jerseys and footballs that they'll make money on if they just bit the bullet and kept it free. So that's.
I'm having a hard time following your point here. You're saying it's a good thing that they have it because they're cultivating a new generation.
I'm saying it's a bad thing, like business-wise and fan-wise, both sides. Like they're missing out. Like you know, those kids won't go to the practice, and you know they won't go to the practice.
Get sold out. They're going to the practice, yeah. So they're gonna expose the young kids all that merchandise.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like they should have more than. Honestly, I thought they should have more than one. Like, they should have, like, six. They should be free. Like, they shouldn't charge anything. I agree with you on that. But at the same time, like, they should have more than just two. Like, they had two last year. They had one this year. They should have, like, I would say at least six.
Yeah, no,
like,
I agree. I agree with you, man. You want to join Al's question?
Yeah.
All right, this is the a tourist attraction by Wikipedia description. So let's go and let's go with this one here. Built in the classical Inca style, it has polished dry stone walls.
You said Inca style?
It's built in the classical Inca style with polished dry stone walls.
Huh?
What is it? You're out, bro. It is Machu Picchu.
That was tough.
It was
all but one of them was tough.
It was referred to in Seinfeld, by the way. Did you remember?
No, which episode?
Yeah, Elaine was trying to wreck that lady's business. She sold
Inca
style clothing. Yeah. And then he took the chips and he ate the chips and he went, Machu Picchu.
Yes, he dropped the stuff in it and made. That was with the speed dial. Jerry's number got hit it in the poison control.
Yes.
The girl from Gilmore Girls was the girl.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. All right,
we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. The big 5 o'clock hour is ahead right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And now, NBC Sports, Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.